Great. Thank you. The mic is working? Great. Yeah, so this afternoon I'd like to talk about the proof of the weight part of Serre's conjecture for mod p Galois representations attached to rank two unitary groups in the unramified case. So in other words, the Buzzard-Diamond Jarvis conjecture for unitary groups. So this everything I'm going to talk about today is joint work with Toby G. and Tong Liu. So let me just recall the setting. So let me let P be an odd prime. And fix some F, an imaginary CM field. F plus the totally real subfield. And let me suppose that F has the following properties. So first, let me suppose that the extension F over F plus is unramified at all finite places. Let me further suppose that this extension is split at all places above P. And let me assume that the degree of F plus over Q is even. And now for simplicity for the talk, but it's not a limitation of any of the theorems, let me just suppose also that in fact F plus has a unique place V above P. So since that's split in F, V will factor as, say, a place W times conjugate in F. And now these conditions on the field F, of course not this condition, but the other conditions, guarantee the existence of some group G defined over F plus. And this group G is an outer form of GL2. Quasi-split at all finite places. And compact at all infinite places. And split over F. All right, so let me let K be the residue field of the localization of F at, say, the place W. And now in this context, a Serre weight is an irreducible FP bar representation of the group GL2 of K. All right. Okay, I'm going to put the definition in quotes because it's not going to be a sort of a hint at a definition rather than definition. But let's say we say that that some global representation R bar is a representation of the Galois group of F into GL2 of FP bar is modular of weight. So some Serre weight sigma if R bar, let's say, occurs in some suitable space of algebraic modular forms, as in the last talk, with coefficients in sigma. All right, so if R bar is modular, so modular of some weight sigma, let me let W of R bar be the set of all stair weights for which R bar is modular. And now, if in fact P is unramified, in F, then there's an explicit set WBDJ of R bar, written down by Buzzard, Diamond, and Jarvis, which is their prediction for the set W of R bar. So let me return to the definition of this set in a few moments. Set the stage a bit to motivate the definition of this set. But now I can at least state the main global theorem in the talk, which is that with notation as above, okay, so suppose that we have some R bar. That is modular. And let's suppose that R bar, when I restrict to the Galois group of F adjoined zeta P, is irreducible. And maybe for the experts, let me point out that if P is 3 or 5, then you need to modify this slightly. Namely, you need to assume that R bar is irreducible. And the image under R bar of that group is adequate. And again, let me just repeat, assume that P is unramified in F, and then the conclusion is that the Buzzard-Diamond-Jarvis conjecture holds. Okay, so now let me try to recall for you the definition of this set. So before I do that, let me remind you what precisely stair weights look like. So let's say the stair weights sigma all have the following shape. Namely, the sigma will be the tensor product over all kappa embeddings of K into FP bar. So I hope you'll be able to tell the difference between my kappas and my k's, but unfortunately sigma and tau, which would be the natural letters, are going to be used for other things. Of the following, so let's say determinant to the power a kappa tensor sim to the b kappa minus a kappa of the standard representation of GL2 on a two-dimensional K vector space, and then tensor product over K. Yeah, I'll try to remember to put a loop on all of my little Ks with FP bar. And so what about these integers A kappa and B kappa? So A kappa, these should all be between 0 and P minus 1, but not all P minus 1. And B kappa minus A kappa also always between 0 and P minus 1. Okay, so let me assume for the rest of the talk that P is unramified. So, in other words, the localization of F at W over QP is unramified at P, so the whole remainder of the talk. And given this, I'll identify, without further comment, embeddings kappa of K into FP bar with embeddings kappa of FW into QP bar. So let's suppose that rho is some crystalline representation of the Galois group of FW. Well, let's say GL2 QP bar, so that rho bar then corresponds to some D of filtered P module in the sense of Fontaine. So D is then some rank 2 module over FW tensor QP bar. And this decomposes as an algebra as the product of copies of QP bar indexed again by these embeddings kappa into QP bar. And so as a consequence, D itself then also decomposes as a product over the kappas of some D kappas, and each of these D kappas, well, there's a similar decomposition for each of the modules in the filtration of D, and so D kappa is in a filtered QP bar vector space of dimension 2. And so as a consequence, there are, of course, two jumps in the filtration on D kappa, and these jumps are the, let's say, kappa labeled Hodge-Tate weights of rho. Okay, so for rho and for each embedding kappa, there's a pair of Hodge-Tate weights. And let me normalize these so that the cyclotomic character has all of its labeled Hodge-Tate weights equal to 1. And now if sigma is a Serre weight, so as we saw, of course, there's a pair of integers for each embedding kappa in the Serre weight, we'll say that rho has Hodge type sigma if the kappa labeled Hodge state weights are not quite A kappa and B kappa, but A kappa and B kappa plus 1 for all kappa. Great. Sorry, Rich? So yes, I may have said this out loud and not written it down, but since it would involve taking out the wood, I won't write it. But yeah. Okay. So maybe let me just remark that sort of in all of the proofs, and so in all of our proofs, we can twist by some character to assume that all of the A kappas are zero. And so then if something has Hodge type sigma for a weight where all of the A kappas are zero, then, B kappa minus A kappa is between zero and P minus one, but A kappa was zero, so BK plus one is somewhere between one and P. So, all right. So maybe some justification for having made this terminology is the following basic fact, which is that if our bar is modular of weight, sigma, then the local representation, so R bar restricted to the Galois group of FW, in fact has a crystalline lift. Which is of a Hodge type fit. So to see this, it's not so difficult. So the point is that, of course, if R bar is modular of weight sigma, R bar is the mod P representation attached to some cuspidal automorphic pi, whose infinity type is determined in some way by sigma. And from this, it follows by local global compatibility that, in fact, R pi locally at W is exactly such a lift. So motivated by this proposition, we can define a set of weights, and I'll call it W Chris R bar, to be the set of Serre weight sigma, such that the local representation has a crystalline lift of Hodge type sigma. then, of course, it's essentially automatic that, of course, the set of weights is contained in the set W crisp. Ah, there it is. Okay. So now what about the reverse direction? So in the reverse direction, we have the following important progress. So the theorem of Barnett-Lamb, Gian, and Garrity ...2011, and let me sort of say up at the top, it's crucial to note that there's no ramification hypothesis here. So somehow the statement I'm going to make, because of the definitions I've made, is the statement in the unramified case, but there's an analogous statement in the case where P is ramified in F, and that statement is, in fact, their theorem, which is that, so under the hypotheses of theorem, A, except, as I've said, except for the ramification hypothesis, suppose that the local representation has not just a crystalline lift, but in fact a crystalline lift that is potentially diagonalizable of the paper of Barnett, Lamb, G, Garrity, and Taylor. And by the way, I'm very quickly going to replace this with something stronger, so let me just somehow I'm not going to ever actually need to use the definition of potentially diagonalizable, so let me just omit that, if you don't mind. So then under these hypotheses, of course, of Hodge type sigma, then sigma is in fact a weight for R bar. So somehow the gap between this inclusion and this inclusion is this potential diagonalizability hypothesis. And so that's what we'd like to remove. Okay, so now I can actually give you the definition of the set WBDJ of R bar. So we'll define the WBDJ of R bar is the set of sigma such that the local representation has a crystalline lift of Hodge type sigma that moreover so let me suppose that the lift is reducible if the local representation is reducible R, thank you, and induced from say an unramified quadratic extension, and the unramified quadratic extension if R bar locally is irreducible. And so the point is, this is known, each of these cases, by BLGG, that these are in fact potentially diagonalizable. Well, this more or less by definition, and this may be have to do something, so that this is a stronger condition than potential diagonalizability. And so by BLGG, we certainly have that WBDJ of R bar contained in W of R bar. And let me just also remark that this set of weights is quite explicit. This definition is quite explicit. Completely explicit in the case where the local representation is semi-simple, but somehow is given in terms of crystalline extension classes in the case where this representation is reducible but not split. So this is quite explicit. And in fact, you often see this set written as W explicit. So now, our main local result then is as follows, so theorem B. So suppose that FW over QP is unramified and P greater than 2, and suppose that now I do mean a row. Suppose row bar from GFW to GL to FP bar is reducible. Okay, so I have a reducible local representation, and the statement is that if row bar has any crystalline left of Hodge type sigma, then in fact it has a reducible such lift. And so this theorem then implies that WBDJ of R bar is in fact equal to W cris of R bar, and so theorem A follows. Maybe I should remark, so it follows, I mean literally immediately follows that this equality holds in the case where the local representation is reducible, but in the irreducible case there's a little more work to be done. So in the irreducible case, what you do is you restrict to a quadratic extension, and of course our irreducible local representation becomes reducible when you restrict to a quadratic extension. You apply theorem B there, and then you descend. So let me make some remarks about this theorem. So the first remark, so recall, as I remarked before, now we can reduce by twisting to the case where the A kappas are all 1. So this is a statement about crystalline representations with Hodge-Tate weights in the range 0 to P. So the first remark is that when the Hodge-Tate weights are in the range 0 to P minus 2, instead of 0p, the statement of theorem B is a consequence of Fontaine-Lafay theory. So somehow the point is to go a couple of Hodge-Tate weights further. So in fact, theorem A was proved by Toby, I think in 2006, for the case of regular weights. And the point of this hypothesis is more or less precisely somehow that one can then use Fontaine-Lafay theory and avoid the difficulties that come with having to consider a Hodge-Tate weight range from 0 to P. So somehow the point of our theorem is that we're addressing those difficulties. Okay. So the second remark is that theorem B is optimal in the sense that it's not true in any wider range of Hodge-Tate weights. Okay. In particular, so if FW is just QP, then a sum of two copies of the mod P cyclotomic character this in fact has a crystalline lift with Hodge-Tate weights 0 and P plus 1, but no reducible such lift. And maybe the third remark, maybe I'll just say rather than writing down, which is that, so in the case, again, say where FW is just QP, that in fact somehow theorem B is non-trivial, but it's somehow true for a, in some sense, trivial reason, which is that rho bar is reducible if and only if its crystalline lifts within the Hodge-Tate range 0 to P are reducible. That is, if rho is in the Hodge-Tate range 0 to P and it's irreducible, then its reduction mod P is irreducible. But that's not at all true when F is not QP. So somehow the issue when F is not, when FW is not QP, is you really do have reducible, irreducible rows in that Hodge-Tate weight range with reducible rho bars, and you want those rho bars to be accounted for also by reducible representations. Okay. Good eraser. Okay, so the proof of theorem B is local. So maybe the first idea somehow, if you wanted to try attacking a statement like theorem B, say the most direct approach would be to do something like the following. So try to write down all of the crystalline representations of GFW with Hodge-Tate weights in the range 0 to P. When I say write them down, of course I mean write down the corresponding filtered C modules. And then try to find the reductions mod P of each of those rows and see that everything that arises and is reducible arises from a reducible representation. So in fact, there are partial results along those lines. Say, due to Nakas-Dusmanis and also to June Zhu. And if you look at those papers, you see that they work very, very hard. It's kind of a heroic effort, but somehow one doesn't seem to get the general case. So instead, our approach is somewhat different. Our approach is indirect. So to describe this, let me remind you about Kissin's theory of S modules or Kissin modules. So let me write W for the ring of integers of FW and fix pi a uniformizer. We set S to be power series ring in one variable over W. Phi the map from S to S with phi of u equal to u to the p, and acting as Frobenius on w, arithmetic Frobenius on w. Fw sub infinity is fw adjoin some compatible system of p to the nth roots of our fixed uniformizer pi, and g infinity, the Galois group of an algebraic closure of fw over fw infinity. Okay, so then a Kissin module of height R is a pair M and phi. Of course, I should properly write phi sub M, but I'll omit the subscript, where so M is a free finite rank S module. C map from M to M, of course, is semilinear with respect to the C on S. And this height R, so the co-kernel of the map from M twisted by phi to M, so this linear map is killed by the rth power of the minimal polynomial of pi. So maybe I'll start the theorem on this board. So the following theorem of Kissin. So there is a functor, say t, from Kissin modules to ZP representations of the group G infinity. And of course, maybe I should say that there's, of course, no ramification hypothesis in the theorem, but I'm just writing the statement in the unramified case. And this functor has the following properties. So it's exact and fully faithful. It's compatible with reduction mod P. In the sense that there's some other functor on Kissin modules mod P to FP representations that's compatible with this functor. And finally, if L is a ZP lattice in a semi-stable representation, with Hodge-Tate weights in the range 0 to R, then L, well, at least L restricted to G infinity, is in fact T of M, the sum M. Height R. So our key technical input is a structure theorem for Kissin modules of height and most P. Okay, so this theorem is as follows. So let's suppose as before that FW over QP unramified and P at least 3, and let me suppose L is above is a ZP lattice in a crystalline representation. I should say in this line a theorem for Kissin modules of height at most P that give rise to crystalline representations, okay? So suppose L is a ZP lattice in a crystalline representation with Hodge-Tate weights in the range 0 P, so then L, as we know from Kissin's theorem, is T of M for some M, and M is essentially, of course, unique by the exact and full faithfulness of this functor, by the full faithfulness of this functor. And so the statement is that there exists a basis of M with respect to which the map phi has the shape, say, x times u minus pi to the r1 to u minus pi to the rd times y, where, of course, d is the dimension of rank of L, r1 to rd are the Hodge state weights of L, and x and y are invertible matrices with y congruent to the identity mod p. And to be precise, of course, we prove this, but we also prove a version with coefficients, which I'm not going to state. Let me just ignore coefficients for the talk, but okay, so there's a version of this theorem with coefficients. So this theorem is, again, best possible in the sense this structure theorem fails if you allow the Hodge state weight range to go to 0 to p plus 1. And this theorem should be maybe of interest for other applications. So, for example, we can prove the following, and I'm going to give the statement just for QP, but there is a corresponding statement in the unramified case. So let me suppose that rho is some representation of d-dimensional representation of the Galois group of QP, which is crystalline with Hodge state weights R1 up to RD, again, of course, in the range 0 to P. And let me suppose that rho bar semi-simple is a sum of characters. Well, NEVO 1. So then, in fact, rho bar semi-simple is just the sum of the appropriate powers of the cyclotomic character given by the Hodge state weights. So again, yeah, of course. Well, yeah, right. Thank you. So again, let me make the remark that this extends a theorem of Fontaine-Lafay. Fontaine-Lafay proved the same theorem in the Hodge state weight range, say 0 to p minus 1. To the range 0 to p. And again, with for exactly the same example that I showed you before, it would be false in the range 0 to p plus 1. Okay. So how does this help us prove theorem B? So let's suppose that L is as above, so a lattice in, again, a crystalline representation. So now of Hodge type sigma, and so now say I've twisted so that the A kappas are all zero and the Hodge Tate weights are in the appropriate range. Let me suppose that the reduction mod P L bar is reducible. And M, the corresponding Kissin module. So one can show then that as I said I was going to ignore coefficients. This of course should be properly M modulo the maximal ideal of the coefficients. Since L bar is reducible, one can prove that the Kissin module mod P is reducible. So in other words, it's an extension of two mod P Kissin modules of rank 1. Modules over K double brackets U of rank 1. And so theorem C then places strong restrictions on the extension classes that can occur. So somehow, without ever actually explicitly reducing any rank 2 Kissin module with reducible reduction, mod P, somehow we know from the structure theorem essentially what extension classes can occur. And so, of course, what we'd like to do then is see that each of these extension classes can be lifted to a Kissin module coming from a reducible extension. So want to lift. M mod P to some M prime for a reducible representation. But you see, remember that the functor T can somehow only see L restricted to G infinity. So one needs somehow some extra structure to be able to see, in fact, the whole representation, see the whole mod P representation. Somehow to check that everything that we've written down is really arising. So somehow we need some more structure. Good, great. About 5 minutes left. Perfect. So to this end, what we in fact do is we make really essential use of Liu's theory of phi g hat modules. And this is somehow really what makes everything work. So I don't have time maybe to give the definition of a phi g hat module, but maybe let me at least say that a phi g hat module is a Kissin module plus. Some extra structure, and this extra structure is somehow making up the distance between G infinity and the Galois group of FW. So you can think of this as somehow an analog of the theory of C gamma modules in the Kissin theory. And so Liu proves the following. So there's an exact anti-equivalence of categories, let's say, also call it T, between, say, phi G hat modules of height R, where, of course, the height of a phi G hat module is the height of the underlying Kissin module. And semi-stable representations with Hodge state weights in the range 0 R. So there's no restriction on R here. Yeah, thank you. Well, I'll say it on the lower board. Okay. So, what we do is we prove, in addition to our structure theorem on Kissin modules, we prove also a result about a structure result for phi G hat modules coming from crystalline representations. Now, one of the key problems is distinguishing between the phi G hat modules, maybe even the mod p phi G hat modules that come from the reduction of a crystalline representation, as opposed to those that come from the reduction of a semi-stable representation. Somehow, you can get more reductions from semi-stable things, and somehow you have to be able to weed out those reductions. And the proof of this, maybe say, has non-trivial intersection with the proof of theorem C. Okay, so I mean, somehow there's a part of the proof of theorem C that involves, say, some delicate estimates for the monodromy operator N on the Kissin module, and those estimates somehow don't have anything to do with the Hodge-Tate weight range. Somehow those estimates are used again in the proof of the structure result for phi G hat modules, and then somehow from that estimate, the proof of theorem C then proceeds. But at that point, somehow you need to apply the unramified hypothesis, and you need to restrict to your Hodge-Tate weight range. And so then using this, you can show that the above extensions of rank 1 Kissin modules extend uniquely to extensions of rank 1. So rank 1 mod p Kissin modules to extensions of rank 1 mod p phi g hat modules. This statement is almost true. It's not quite true in the case where all of the B kappas are P minus 1. So to modify this slightly in that one case. And then one can, in fact, by a counting argument, we can see that all of these extensions are, in fact, accounted for by reducible crystalline representations. And that completes the proof. So I'll stop there.